Welcome back, Prospects to Pros on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Dane Brugler. Lance is off today. I wanted to switch things up a little bit this week. Senior Bowl announcements have been going out. You can catch all those at the Senior Bowl on Twitter. They're really doing a nice job of keeping everybody updated with the confirmed accepted invites. We're almost to 40 names already. A lot of big names are going to be down there in Mobile. So who better to have on and discuss it than the man in charge of the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy? We're going to talk about how the game's going to look a little different this year in the middle of a pandemic, you know, which prospects have surprised him the most, and plenty more. So really excited to chat with our guest today. He's the executive director of the Reese Senior Bowl, former longtime NFL scout, and a pretty good follow on Twitter, Mr. Jim Nagy. Jim, thanks for hopping on today.
Hey, Dane. Thanks for having me on.
So if you're listening to this podcast, you know what the Senior Bowl is. It's the premier all-star game for senior prospects. It's one of our favorite weeks of the year. So much to learn and gather down there in Mobile, Alabama. So the first question, obviously, we're in an unprecedented point in time in all of our lives with the pandemic. We're in the middle of a college football season where some teams have played nine times, others have played once. So how will the Senior Bowl look different in 2021 with the challenges of making sure everyone's healthy and safe during the week?
Yeah, it's going to look different than the past couple of years for sure, in terms of we're stripping away all the events from the week, and it's just going to be practice and a game. We've really worked hard to build this thing up, make it more of a fan destination so they can come down here and take in a bunch of different events. Last year was a major step forward with we had the Players Mardi Gras Parade, which was a blast, and then a free concert down here, downtown Mobile with like 15,000 people. So the goal was to continue to build on that this year, but we're not going to be able to do that. And the most important thing is getting the players here, getting them here safe, and having the NFL here so they can evaluate these guys and really try to get through this pre-draft process like a normal year with practice in the game.
So do you anticipate any logistical changes when it comes to the number of players or practice times or anything like that because of the pandemic?
Nothing major. No, we might, tweak the numbers a little bit. But practice is going to be very, very similar. Obviously, we're going to have some testing protocols in place just to make sure that when we do get on the field and we get these teams in front of the players, everyone's been tested and everything's safe. But in terms of like the format of practice or anything like that, no, I don't anticipate any changes.
So at the time of this taping, we're almost 40 confirmed accepted invites in, which is really exciting. You know, it means that the game's getting close and the pre-draft process is getting closer. So I'm curious, of the accepted invites so far, is there one or two that if I would have told you back in June that, hey, player X would have been part of the first wave of accepted invites, that would have surprised you?
That's kind of been risen up through the fall.
Yeah, guys that maybe have helped themselves from September until now that maybe, we didn't really expect over the summer.
Yeah, I would say a guy, Peyton Turner at Houston, defensive lineman, 6'6", 270. I know you've looked at him, Dane. You can move him up, up and down the line of scrimmage. Really long, athletic. He was playing last year with some busted up hands, according to their staff, a bunch of broken fingers and ligament damage and all this stuff. And man, he's taken a really nice jump this fall and went from like the bottom of our draftable board up to where it would not surprise me. You know, by the time we get to April, that guy's a day two player.
Yeah, he plays that bandit role in that Houston defense. I tell you what, the biggest takeaway from his tape was just the effort plays. It's all over his tape where he's making plays from the backside. He's making plays that really he has no business making. And like you said, the athleticism, that definitely stood out. And I think this edge class as a whole, really like the talent. You've got guys that maybe could be top 50 guys, Quiddy Pay, Carlos Basham, D'Angelo Malone at Western Kentucky, I think is a day two player. The edge rusher class may be one of the stronger positions this year. What positions for you really stand out as maybe being the deepest among the senior class?
Well, that's one of them. You nailed it. I'm kind of checking that group out right now. I'm staring at the board, and yeah, it's really deep. We just got a commitment from Jeremiah Moon at Florida. who I'm really high on because of the physical traits. And he's really starting to play his best football right now. But it's a deep linebacker class. And then the offensive line group, I'll just go there. You know, 2 years ago, we had five offensive linemen go in the first round out of this game. And the North team alone had 9 out of 10 on the North went in the first three rounds. And this group is really strong, especially it could get bolstered by some juniors that we've targeted right now. We can't share those names, but you know, there's probably 10 or 11 junior offensive linemen that will get their diplomas in December and be eligible to play in the game. So that could really, really bolster it. And then it's a really good senior running back class. That's typically a really difficult position for us to get players, because most running backs, they take off when they get their first chance. They don't want to withstand all the pounding. So when you look at a senior class with Travis Etienne and Najee Harris and Trey Sermon and Larry Roundtree from Missouri, who we just got an acceptance from over the weekend, really strong running back group.
Yeah, and you know, I've always enjoyed our talks, whether it's about players or scouting in general. And something that we've talked about is how some invites were just easy. So I'm curious, who qualifies in this class as a very easy invite? You know, you knew after a tape or two that he was going to have a spot in this year's game.
Travis Etienne's pretty easy. A guy, Kadarius Toney, was pretty easy. He's a Mobile kid, and I saw Kadarius play in high school. He was a quarterback here locally at Blount High School. And just going back to when he was a freshman at Florida and seeing him at practice back when I was scouting for the Seahawks, he was the most dynamic player on the field as a true freshman. Now, he wasn't as productive as he's been this year, but the talent's always been there. So he was a really easy one. You go across the board. We brought up Boogie Basham. He was easy. Quiddy Pay. Chaz Surratt from North Carolina, the linebacker. He was a really easy one. So, every position, there's some guys that once you put on the tape, it doesn't take very long. You certainly don't have to watch four or five games. Like at corner, Elijah Molden at Washington. Undersized guy, but such a good football player. So much fun to watch. He was a no-brainer.
Yeah, he seems like a make it guy. You know, he's not going to run especially well. He's not the biggest guy, like you said, but he knows how to play football, and that really stands out. Another theme of this year's Senior Bowl is going to be how do some of these opt-out guys look? You know, and so included in that first wave of accepted invites, several guys who just we don't have tape from this season, this fall, whether it's Ambry Thomas or a Kerry Vincent. There's several of those guys. Is there one specifically that maybe stands out as a guy that you can't wait to see him get back on the field down there in Mobile?
Well, I think the guy that's going to, have the most intrigue around him is Jamie Newman, the quarterback from Wake, who, went to Georgia in the offseason and then opted out of Georgia. Just talking to guys around the league, that's a guy they really feel like they need to see. So that was a pretty easy invite because, again, a big function of our game is serving the 32 teams and making sure we're bringing the players they want to see. So they need to figure Jamie out. I know you watched the tape from Wake, and it's not a real apples to apples comparison with Jamie. You see some of the physical tools, but, very different from what he's going to be asked to do at the pro level. So he's one. And then, Nico Collins, the receiver from Michigan, is the guy that I'm really curious to see because before he opted out, I was talking to those guys up there in Ann Arbor. And, I brought up Nico being, a probable day two guy. And they're like, Jim, if you can see him right now, he looks like a day one guy. He dropped a bunch of weight from last year. They said he looked quicker and more explosive than he ever had. So if that's the case, and that was in that was probably late August when we had that conversation. So if he's looking like a first rounder, I can't wait to see Nico out here.
Yeah, not many big-time talents like Nico Collins get out of Alabama and go to Big Ten country, so it'll be good to see him back in his home state to see what he can do. It's interesting because, like you said, you service the 32 teams. You want to get the guys there that teams want to see, and so one of the benefits of the Senior Bowl is the small school guys. Last year it was Jeremy Chinn or Kyle Duggar. You guys are watching this class, but you also want to get the smaller school guys, the non-FBS players on the same field as guys from Alabama or Ohio State. And that's especially true this year with most of these small school guys not having a season. So do you anticipate maybe more small school players at this year's Senior Bowl than previous ones, just because it's important to figure those guys out, and that's who teams really want to see.
You know, that's, I'm glad you brought that up, Dane. It's an interesting question, and really, and I don't know where the numbers are shaking out right now. We've got most of the small school guys committed that we wanted to go after. We feel this way every year that we have a responsibility to you know, bring these guys in and get them drafted. I mean, that's the goal every year is, you know, if we batted 1,000, we'd have a, you know, 115 drafted guys. And that obviously doesn't happen every year because things happen between, you know, our game and April, whether it's a character red flag or a medical red flag or a guy doesn't run fast at Indy, it makes them fall out of the draft. But there's a real responsibility in our office right now with these small school players, because if they're not slam dunk draftable guys, my biggest fear is that a kid would use his Senior Bowl invite as a reason to come out and declare for the draft. And then we get to April and have him not get drafted. I would hate for that to happen. So we're being really, really careful this year with who we invite. And part of that process, Dane, is, you know, we have formal calls with, you know, a bunch of teams in the league. I think we did 12 or 13 calls before these first round of invites went out. And we'll do another when we do our next wave of invites. We'll do the same thing with different teams. But, you know, really trying to make sure that, okay, are these guys solidly draftable? And when I say that, to me, that's like fourth or fifth round right now here in November. Mm-hmm. To me, something major would have to happen for those guys to fall out of the draft completely. Now, if you're talking, if a guy was getting sixth and seventh round grades back right now, that's probably not a guy we want to move on. There's a lot of small school guys that, you know, scouts have put seventh round priority free agent grades on. And we really, really need to stay away from that crew. So, you know, Dylan Radins from North Dakota State and the tackle, and Spencer Brown, the tackle, you know, these guys, all the guys we invited so far, coming off these calls with the teams, there's a lot of, you know, day two or early day three grades on all these guys, or we wouldn't have invited them this year.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And it's, like you said, that's who teams want to see, because they want to see these guys on the same field as these better players or guys from more known programs, I should say, and just to get a better barometer of how to better understand who these players are. And I think it's, you know, an interesting perspective from the teams. How are they going to approach this year's Senior Bowl with these opt-outs, with these small school guys who maybe didn't have a senior season on the field? I mean, how are they going to be able to approach a Senior Bowl when they don't have a ton of tape or any tape from this past year? Is that going to put more emphasis on this week at the Senior Bowl, or is it just going to be another cross-checking exercise? How do you think teams are going to approach this week when a lot of these players, it's going to be kind of all, they're putting all their eggs in this basket?
Well, I think it's important for these guys to come down here and put their best foot forward. I think if you're a team, you're coming in here open-minded. These guys, there's going to be a rust factor involved with a lot of these guys that opted out. And from a team's perspective, I mean, I would be telling my scouts, guys, on Tuesday, let's give this guy a pass on Tuesday. Let's hope he gets a little better Wednesday and a little better on Thursday, and hopefully he shows up in the game. You know, they are going to, there's going to be an acclimation period where they got to get their feet back under themselves. But again, they've put in, since last football season, they've put in 12 months of hard work, you know, in the weight room and on the field. They should look better than they looked on 2019 tape, at least physically. So, I think that's the mindset of these players. The ones I've talked to that are coming, they're excited to come show what the last 12 months of hard work looks like, to these teams. But you know, from a team's perspective, you just got to hope these guys get better every day. And then, you know, the biggest part of this year will be the interviews, because we don't know how much time these teams are going to be able to have with the players. So, you know, what's being done off the field in the interviews is going to be critical this year.
Switching gears to the quarterback position, you know, we've got two confirmed invites so far with Sam Ellinger out of Texas and Jamie Newman, who you mentioned, Georgia, and the Wake Forest transfer. It's going to be really interesting with this Senior Bowl group who ends up getting, you know, the coveted invites. Kyle Trask from Florida, he's been so productive this year. It's been really fun to kind of see his maturation going from a backup in high school and backup at Florida and then really exploding on the scene. What have you seen from Kyle Trask this year that has impressed you?
Yeah, it's funny. He's to start the year, he was at the same exact spot on the board that Joe Burrow was a year ago going into his senior year, and not comparing the two guys, but it's just ironic that they both, you know, they both ended up in the same spot, and they both both made this big jump as seniors. What sticks out to me about Kyle, and again, he is our highest graded senior quarterback, was just going back to last year, my first live exposure to him was on the road at Baton Rouge, you know, night game, Saturday game, two ranked teams. I mean, it doesn't get more pressure packed than that at the college level. And just to see him handle it that night, and the poise he played with and the toughness he played with, it was definitely not too big for him. And for a guy that hadn't started since his sophomore year of high school, there's just, you can't coach that stuff. You can't coach, you know, the feel and the poise and, so just really, really impressive. And this year, what stands out is the accuracy. I mean, he's, there are some plays on tape where you question whether it was a good decision or not. And he'd be, it'd be fun to sit down and watch tape with Kyle and like talk through what he's seeing on the field, because I think it's, it would be interesting to know, you know, what did you see here? Are you just that supremely confident in your ability to put a football right there and squeeze it into that tight window? Or was that maybe a throw you might've wanted back and you feel like you just got lucky on it? But he is, he's putting the ball on a string this year, and he's got great skill players. We talked about Kadarius Toney, but obviously Kyle Pitts and you know, Trayvon Grimes, there's a lot of good players on that offense, but his accuracy and putting those guys in position to make plays after the catch has been awesome.
Yeah, no question about it. And he's a little bit tough as a prospect because he's, you know, he's not Joe Burrow. He's not a slam dunk first round pick by any means, at least in my opinion. And, you know, just talking to people around the league. So, you know, a week in Mobile could be something that maybe could really benefit him when it's all said and done. You know, last topic I really wanted to discuss with you, and this is more of a philosophical question. You know, you scouted in the league for a lot of years. You spent time with different organizations, different scouting methods. What do you think is the biggest difference in you as an evaluator from your scouting days to when you started at the Senior Bowl 3 years ago? What's the biggest difference from then to now? And maybe, you know, what are the most important scouting lessons you've learned along the way?
Yeah, Dan, that's a good question. I think you just need to take a bigger picture view with our game when you're scouting for a team. It's really team specific. So fewer players fit. You know, it actually makes this job a little easier because you're scouting for all 32 teams and a bunch of different scheme fits and organizational fits. So that makes it a little easier that we're really open to all the players. I mean, one thing I've learned that I've hopefully feel like I've gotten a little better at is with our scouts and just trying to balance opinions and evaluations and making sure everyone on the staff that's putting in so much hard work feels like their voices are being heard and that, you know, it's given weight, you know, and that's kind of treating the board as a living entity, right? And not being like locked in at a certain spot. We do so much work over the summer. When you get into the fall, you got to give these guys an opportunity, these players an opportunity to get better and rise up. So we don't ever want to feel locked in. But for me, I mean, it's just been a learning process for me, like learning the voices of your scouts and what they see and maybe what some of their strengths and weaknesses are, and then just balancing out the board and making everyone feel like they're a big part of this process, because they are. They're a huge part of it.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because you are basically, you know, the GM of your team. You have scouts working underneath you, and, you know, you have to trust them. And, you know, it really is an interesting dynamic. And, you know, it's been interesting, your social media presence, kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit. How has that been kind of implementing Twitter and these different things into, you know, how you're trying to grow the game?
Yeah, it's the social media part's been really, really challenging. It's something we never had, you know, it's something scouts don't have, you know. I mean, right. Some guys might have accounts, but they don't go on there and post anything. I never even had any accounts. But I did see social media as an opportunity to connect with these players. And people ask about, you know, different questions about the Senior Bowl. There's a lot of recruiting that goes into this, you know, and I feel like we've made major strides over the past couple of years in terms of like building the profile of the game and building buzz around the game. I think you can see it now when we put out our preseason top 250 list and all the colleges are creating graphics for it. And when we name our seniors of the week on a weekly basis, the colleges are making graphics and pumping that out. And now with some of the, you know, with some of the accepted invite stuff, we've done some of that on our own, like looping in Doug Williams from the Washington football team to give David Moore, the guard at Grambling, his invite, and looping in Joe Staley, you know, to give Spencer Brown his invite. So we've created some of that, but some of the schools are doing some great stuff on their own, and they're creating content of their own around our game, which has been a ton of fun. And again, we don't have the resources to go out and, you know, hustle these kids and be on campus every day. We just don't have that. So we have to connect some way, and social media is the easiest way. These guys all have their phones in their hands all the time. And it's been the best way for us to connect. So, but it's very different than working for a team. Certainly was never on Twitter before I took this job.
Yeah, it's been really cool to check out, the Senior Bowl, Twitter feed and see, Central Arkansas, Robert Rochelle, when his coaching staff gave him the invite, and you see him break down, a lot of emotion. Just really cool to see that, this is a big deal for these players. And so the opportunity is something that I know they're excited about. And, we're excited about it. It's almost 2 months away here. So, guys, make sure you're following Jim on Twitter at JimNagy_SB. Jim, you've been very generous with your time. We really do appreciate it. And we'll see you here in a few months.
Yeah, Dane, thanks for having me on. And tell Lance hello for me.
I will.